karma and rebirth. A talk given by Reverend Dr. K. Sri Damananda Nayaka Thera at the University of Sound Sinai.
The word karma or kamma is a very common word among the followers of all existing religions which were originated in India. Sanskrit and Pali languages convey the meaning of cause and effect by using this word. Rebirth means becoming again. So, karma and rebirth are interrelated. It is difficult to explain karma without talking about rebirth, and difficult to understand how rebirth takes place not knowing the activities of karma. That is why we have to discuss these two subjects together. There are many things for us to learn to have better understanding regarding these two natural phenomena. Simply by maintaining some sort of belief, we cannot understand how they function. Traditionally, as Buddhists, we maintain these beliefs as very important religious issues. But we cannot understand, as well as we cannot explain to others, the real beauty of karma and how karma is responsible for our rebirth. Now let us discuss the first item, karma. What is the meaning of this word? Usually, for any kind of action, we use the word karma. But from the Buddhist point of view, mere action cannot become the karma explained by the Buddha. First, we must know how the Buddha explained this word karma. He says, Chetana bhikkhave kamma vada, meaning wholesome or unwholesome volitional activities or moral partiality are called karma. Anyway, we create certain karma, either mentally, verbally, or physically. Yet, mind is responsible for everything. Mental activities are such that it is very difficult to avoid this situation. Every living being, not only human beings, even other living beings also commit certain karma because they too have greed, anger and ignorance in their mind. Then, what is the difference between ordinary karma and the karma explained by the Buddha as moral causes? It is not very difficult to understand. First, I give you a simple example. When you drive your motor car, accidentally, you knock down a man, and that man dies because of your driving, and you are responsible for his death. Although you have committed a karma, it is not under moral causation or unwholesome karma, because you have not created any idea in your mind to do that. Unless you create the idea either to harm a person or to support someone, mere action never becomes either good karma or bad karma from the Buddhist point of view. Without thinking or planning early, or without implanting idea in our mind, we make a lot of mistakes, as well as we do good deeds, and we also experience the good and bad results or effects immediately or within this lifetime.
That is the nature of any kind of action and its reaction. When there is a cause, there must be an effect. Regarding a motor car accident, we have to face the damages or face the consequences according to our attitude, such as negligence, fast driving, or violating the traffic law. If not, some people may come and beat us or kill us because of that accident. Even then, this action never become a karma that will follow us for the next life. The effect of such karma will be extinguished if not affected within this lifetime. Since we have not polluted our mind by creating evil thoughts to harm others, there is nothing to remain as karma to create bad effects in the next life. This is the nature of mere action that we commit without creating the idea or the intention to do good and bad deeds. Moral association means violations of existing natural moral law. Moral law does not mean man-made morals from the worldly point of view for his own convenience. There are two kinds of morals, which are man-made morals and natural or universally accepted morals by each and every person without any controversy. So, when we violate some of those universally accepted morals, then we violate moral quotation or the karma explained by the Buddha. That is called akusala karma or bad karma. The positive sign is kusala karma, wholesome activity, mental, verbal, or physical action. We always use these three channels to create good karma or bad karma. Mind itself can create very few good or bad karma, but most of the karmas are performed through verbally or physically, unless we use either our mouth to say something or use our body to do something. It is difficult to commit many karmas, but mind itself can create certain karmas according to gravity or heaviness of the good thought or bad thought. Action itself never becomes either good karma or bad karma from the Buddhist point of view for us to say the bad effect or to enjoy our life hereafter. If we have done anything intentionally, either good deeds or bad deeds, then we cannot escape from the effect. That is the nature of cause and effect. There is another important point for us to learn. Other religions teach that there is a powerful supreme being either to punish or to reward us according to our good and bad deeds. If not, for violating the law given by the God. But they do not talk about karma. Although some other religions like Hinduism also believe in karma, their concept of karma is not like Buddhist concept. According to them, there must be a God either to punish or to reward. Their belief is that God or gods judge what people commit within this life, and destiny of our life depends at the mercy of their God or according to the will of that God by judging our karma. This is the Hindu concept of karma. The Buddha did not accommodate even that belief. He says that there is nobody else in this world to manipulate or to handle our karma or our life. Karma is natural or independent law, just like gravity. Therefore, karma or the action itself creates the effect. Buddhists do not depend on another person to handle their karma, to punish or to reward. If there is a powerful person who can do anything according to his wish, all of us are at his mercy. Anyway, it is difficult for Buddhists to accept this belief. It is also difficult to understand how a God can forgive all the effects of bad deeds that people have committed just because they believe and worship Him. That is why Buddhism says it is impossible for people to escape from the effect of bad actions simply by praying to anybody. We know that man creates sin or bad karma through his mind. Therefore, he is solely responsible for the reaction of his karma. At the same time, forgiveness of sin by a God is not practical or justifiable from the Buddhist point of view. On the other hand, if there is anybody who can forgive our sins, we must understand that we are the only ones who can do so. But there is a method to do that in a practical and reasonable way. Assume we have done certain bad karma due to our ignorance or misunderstanding. One day, by realizing the danger of such action and effect, we determine not to repeat such bad deeds. From that day onwards, try to do more and more good deeds and accumulate more good karma. When we increase the degree of our good karma, we will be able to sustain or overcome the bad effects of the karma through our mental training. Because there will be possibility for us to have a better result, although we have committed certain evil deeds. Again, when we continue our good karma, line after line, until we attain perfection or arahanthood, the karma that we have committed earlier may follow us just like our shadow, but had no chance to affect or attack us because of heavy good karma. Finally, we reach our final goal, Nibbana. After that, there are no more fresh karma to condition another existence to face the consequences or to suffer. This is the Buddhist method to overcome or to forgive our own sins. We never get the liberation simply by praying or worshipping and performing any kind of ritual and animal sacrifices asking for forgiveness. Even the word sin is also not a Buddhistic term. Karma is a very big subject and we have to talk for a few hours to explain various aspects of karma and how the effect of karma comes to us and how to avoid certain reactions. Why certain karma cannot affect at all? Why do we experience only certain karma within this lifetime? Why certain karma affects only immediately after our death within the next life? And why certain karma remain or follow us just like our shadow as long as we exist in this cycle of birth and death or repeated birth and death? We also must understand karma is not the only force which influences our life and to experience pleasant and unpleasant feelings. Besides karma, there are many other factors that influence our life. We can divide karma into three groups according to the period when we experience the effect. At the same time, all the existing karma can be categorized into 8 kinds. One particular karma which can condition or produce pleasant or unpleasant next existence is called generative karma. That particular karma is responsible only for generating of our next life, but not for the rest of our life. Then, another karma, which is called supportive karma, that which assists us to maintain our life. Although many people come into existence as human beings, they become very unfortunate due to lack of such supportive karma. They are not fortunate enough to lead a happy, prosperous, contented life. The nature of another karma is to disturb or to hinder our worldly happiness. That is called obstructive karma. Such disturbances concern our life. That means sicknesses, mental disturbances, or some other interruption created by enemies and some other natural force. People rob us, steal, and take away our belongings by force. Such unfortunate events also can be regarded as bad effects of the past karma. The fourth one is called destructive karma. Sometimes, while we are enjoying our life, suddenly some unfortunate incident happens to destroy our happiness. We do not know why some accident, fire, and flood destroy our belongings and damage our life. Such disasters also may happen to us due to our past karma. Another way to create the effect of karma is according to the gravity or weight of the karmic action. Therefore, this is called weighty karma. Among all those good and bad karma, certain karma become very effective according to the heaviness of the thought, word, and action. All the forces that contribute heavily to create a particular karma. So, at the dying moment, that weighty or heavy karma gets the chance to come forward and become the important karmic force to pave the way for the next existence. Although there are so many other karma, at the same time, the forceful one gets the chance to become the productive karma to generate the next life. Next one is called habitual karma. The karma
whether big or small, that perform again and again during our lifetime, naturally become our habit, since we have done this repeatedly. Such karmic thoughts always prevail in our mind. Let us take a simple example. Every morning, we go to our shrine room or altar and pay homage to the Buddha. If any offering such as flowers, justice, or candles are available, offer them and recite some verses or sutras and concentrate or meditate for a short while. Although this kind of karma can be regarded as minor karma, this can become an important karma to influence the mind of a dying person. Because every day we have been collecting karmic thoughts to enrich the karmic seed in our mind. We know that when the water accumulates into a pot, drop by drop, later a very big quantity of water accumulates in the pot. Therefore, we should never think that such karmic actions are not very important. If not, make it a habit to read few passages from our religious book every day before go to bed. Such good mental habits give a lot of inspiration and guard the mind from mental disturbances or impurity. The karma which appears in the mind of a dying man as his last thought is another kind of karma. That is called death proximate karma. This particular karma becomes the deciding factor for the destiny of our future life. People might have committed numerous good and bad karmic actions during their lifetime, but only one particular karma appears in the mind at that moment as last thought, although there are many other karmic forces are deposited in the subconscious mind and follow us. This particular karmic thought is responsible for our next life, because rebirth takes place according to that last thought. It can be a minor one or a very major one, but no one can choose one particular karmic thought purposely at the last moment. For an example, assume there are big and small sized cows in a cow shed, and the entrances were closed at night time. Next day morning, when the doors are opened, the cow, who was nearer to the door, gets the chance to go out first. That cow can be a small or big one. Very big one, who was behind the small one, had no chance to go out first until the nearest one go out. In the same way, we can understand the nature of this karmic thought. The lesson that we can learn from this example is to know that the religious duties or services that are performed as last rites when the person is going to die can become the last karmic thought in the dying man's mind. But this must be performed when the person is conscious. Such karmic action at that moment remind him certain other good deeds also that he has done earlier and influence the mind
to maintain such good karma, to become the last soul. If the person passed away while he was holding one of his good karma in the mind, he gets the chance to have a better rebirth because he departs from this world without having any mental pollution or confusion in the mind. Therefore, our habitual karma, what we perform in our day-to-day life, easily can become the last thought. This last karmic thought, which appears in the mind, acts just like the negative of a film. When the film is printed, we can see the same photo of the negative. So the picture is the reverse. Last thought is the negative of the film. Sometimes we perform certain good deeds or bad deeds without proper understanding. When we commit such actions in that manner, the result of such karmic actions cannot be certain because such karmic forces do not penetrate deeply into the mind. This karma is called cumulative karma. The effect of this kind of karma will be affected when there are no more other powerful karma, either good or bad, to influence the mind. For this, I can give a simple example. In the physical body, when the resistance power is very strong, many kinds of germs, virus, and bacteria that enter into the body do not create sickness. Because of the strong battalion in the body to fight with these enemy bacteria. When the resistance power is weak, we are susceptible to get any kind of sickness. In the same way, these minor karma also can attack us when other good karmas are not active to support us. When bad karmas are not active, these minor karmas also cannot attack us. There is nobody in this world who is free from good and bad karmic results. A small baby dies immediately after its birth. This baby never had the chance either to create good karma or bad karma. Now, what is the destiny or the fate of this guy? Do you think there won't be any more rebirth for this baby? Although this child never had the chance either to commit good deed or bad deed, in this lifetime, in the storehouse of consciousness of this baby, there are more than enough good and bad karmic seeds. Since there are no good or bad fresh karma to come forward to affect this person, one of his previous karma will come forward and rebirth take place according to that karma, which is deposited in the subconscious mind. So far, I have explained 8 kinds of karma according to their function and responsibility. However, this is a very big subject. According to the Buddha, this is one of the most difficult subjects for us to understand clearly. Karmas are mental activities. Our polluted or clean mind creates karma. I have already mentioned that certain karmas can create the effect only within this lifetime. It could not affect karmas of this particular group become powerless to affect in the next life. The nature of some other karmas are such that they produce the effect immediately after death in the next life, but not thereafter. At the same time, certain other karmas follow us like our shadow and affect us at any time when the necessary conditions are available. As long as you exist in this world or in any part of the universe, and also influence us to change our way of life through the influence of such karma. Although it is difficult to understand why these different karmas affect at different periods, there are reasons for that. The reason for experiencing the effect of the karma within this life only, in the next life and at any time, is due to our mental